This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The full text of the controversial Trans-Pacific Partnership has finally been released to the public after being shrouded in secrecy over the course of 5 years of negotiations. All 6,100 pages of the document have been made available online. The only problem is, would a normal person who is not a specialist or a stakeholder be able to comprehend the entire document? Hafiz Noor Shams, FT Confidential research economist, admits that this would be a monumental task.
Because there's a lot of groups that are interested in the TPP, from health to tobacco to small manufacturers to whatever it is you have out there. I think the point is to have all these small specific players look into the relevant part instead of looking into the whole document. I don't think anybody has the capacity to look through the whole chapters and have an opinion about it, because some of the chapters are quite specific. So the idea is to have, for instance, if you're interested in carbon procurement, then just look at public procurement chapters and give your opinion to the government. It's not so much about reading the whole document. If you look at it to the point of view that there are multiple special interest groups, whether it's NGOs or commercial driven, I think at the end of the day, you would have a comprehensive feedback on the agreement.
Many detractors of the TPPA, including Global Trade Watch, have argued against it over the years on the simple grounds of a lack of transparency. Now that the complexity of the massive document is evident, it's clear that it would be an impossible task for one individual or party alone to dissect the agreement. This will obviously not help ease concerns that Malaysian interests are not being protected. Hafiz believes much has been said from a layman's perspective, but those who are privy to insider information may have a differing view.
To answer that, anybody would have to read the document first. From the briefing that I had, it does seem that we have a lot of concession, a lot of exemption. In some way, that probably reflects the fact that the civil servant, the negotiators, has been doing a relatively good job, regardless whether you agree with the TPP or not. They were discussing it pretty detailed. And some of the stuff I heard at the briefing is quite esoteric, I suppose. Just because Malaysia got a lot of concession from it, for instance, the Bumi Putra policy, the Khazanah was exempted, the EPF doesn't have to be included in the TPP, all the stuff. But at the end of the day, it's a negotiation, it's a give and take. You have to lose some, you have to win some. I think it's important to set the rules earlier, and it's important for us to be part of the team that set the rule. So because we're going to be the first 12 of the TPP nations signing, going on to the TPP, I think that's basically good.
Now, this does not answer concerns that the agreement will be detrimental to many sectors. But Hafiz says Malaysia needs to figure out a way to stay on board.
It's a little bit complex. It's better to be in than out, because the TPP probably going to be the next generation of FTAs. And if you're not going to be inside earlier, if we were Indonesia and we decide to get into the TPP, then Indonesia would have to succeed to all this requirement, and without any discussion, without any real negotiation. You can only have this real negotiation at the start of the ball game. And because of that, I am supportive of the TPP. I'm not quite happy with the assumption, but at the end of the day, I think we have to join the TPP just to not be left behind by others.
This sentiment is shared by World Bank country manager for Malaysia, Faris Haddad Zervos, who says each nation at the negotiating table will have to consider all options and arguments.
The opinions on this are to be respected, and every agreement, you know, has to meet the needs of the bigger picture, but also the local needs of every country. So I would not want to challenge the views of the detractors, because all the views are valid and has to be taken into account. I would just say that from our perspective, a TPP is regarded as being, in the long term, great for the region, I think great for trade, and for Malaysia specific, it's important. I guess I would say the following. We view it as being beneficial for Malaysia, but it is important also to look at the counterfactual. What happens if everyone else goes ahead with the TPP and Malaysia does not? So I think it's important not only to look at the benefits of action, but the costs of inaction.
Facilitating trade across borders should be a key focus in this era of globalization.
This is a very important topic, not only for Malaysia and for the region. I think the preliminary analysis, and much remains to be done, shows that Malaysia stands as the one or two countries that stands to benefit the most from the TPP in terms of the opening of markets to Malaysia, where Malaysia is very competitive in certain areas. clearly, as with everything else, you stand to have winners and you have people who will face challenges after this. But Malaysia is regarded as one of the countries that will be a net winner of this and a very big winner by access to other markets.
As Malaysians debate the merits or disadvantages of the wide-reaching deal, the focus now turns to ASEAN, with leaders from the region converging in Kuala Lumpur this very weekend. U.S. President Barack Obama will also be here, where Ambassador Joseph Yun confirms he is expected to push the agenda.
Oh, I'm sure he'll want to talk about TPPA, because so many countries that will be coming are part of TPPA, including us, Malaysia, Japan, Australia, New Zealand, Singapore, Brunei, among others, are part of TPPA. So we have concluded TPPA, as you know. Now it's up to each country to go through their domestic ratification process. And I'm sure it will be completed by all 12 partners quite soon.
The next question is, how will the agreement affect the region? The TPPA does not specifically seek to include or exclude some nations over others, but conveniently limits participation based on preset conditions that other ASEAN countries do not meet. Hafiz from FT Confidential Research concedes some chapters of the deal will inadvertently do exactly that. Malaysia's palm oil and auto industries specifically would benefit from the TPPA, while the electronics sector could also receive a timely boost.
As far as trade is concerned, there's something called rule of origin, which is, rule of origin is equal with all FTAs. It shows you the inclusiveness of TPP, meaning that if you're not part of TPP, you're going to lose out. So the rule of origin says that if you want to receive exemption in terms of import duties or whatever it is from TPP nation, your input, some fraction of your input have to come from TPP nations. For instance, if you're a auto manufacturer and then you source your stuff from Thailand, for instance, basically I'm highlighting is Japan. And Japan wants to export their end product, their automobiles, to the US. A certain huge chunk of their car input has to come from TPP nation. If you're Thailand, for instance, Thailand is not part of the TPP. That means Japan, which is sourcing from Thailand, wouldn't be able to qualify for TPP requirement in the US for zero tariff, for instance. So it is in this sense that Malaysia could benefit.
With the ASEAN Economic Community coming into force by year-end, this weekend's summit will focus on the region's 10-year plan to tie member nations together more deeply. The TPPA, in contrast, will represent 40% of the world's gross domestic product. Treasury Secretary-General Tan Sri Irwan Serigar says this means signing the agreement is crucial for Malaysia, especially in view of its inclusion in ASEAN.
Malaysia can become the centre for product launching, you know, and so on. And in terms of other countries penetrating the TPPA market, they can use Malaysia as a place where Malaysia can re-export the product to other countries. So there is a lot of benefits both between the TPPA countries and also outside the TPPA countries, which Malaysia can take advantage of. For example, palm oil, you know, many countries in the TPPA are still consuming not that bigger volume. With TPPA, there is a chance that we can export more palm oil to these countries.
Back home, Bantah TPPA recently said its worst fears have been confirmed following the disclosure of the finalised texts of the TPPA. Irwan, however, insists the long-term benefits will outweigh any adverse effects of the deal.
My message to them, in the long run, if you want to survive in this competitive global community, you need to open up, because Malaysia is a trading country and you depend on your export. If you don't open up, you will become less competitive. One day, your country will find it difficult to do trade. But if you open up, you know, in the future, your market will expand and it will benefit each and every individual in this country.
And with all these arguments in mind, the full effect on ASEAN is still unclear. We reached out to the ASEAN Business Advisory Council, which declined to comment ahead of President Obama's visit to Malaysia this week. This is in line with the ASEAN summits. I'm Nadia Aziz, reporting for BFM.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.